Hello there, and thank you so much for joining us for Market Sense. I'm Heather Hedges with Fidelity. So as we speak, a lot happening. The Fed is meeting right now. No doubt the Fed's discussing economic data, confirming that unfortunately inflation is not dead after all. The Consumer Price Index or CPI report and a couple of other inflation gauges that economists look at and watch came in slightly higher than most were expecting. And that has investors wondering what this means for the Fed's larger plans to potentially make several rate cuts this year. So to talk about what that might mean for investors, we are excited this week to be joined by Naveen Mahlwal, an institutional portfolio manager here at Fidelity. We're also joined today by Leanna Deviney. She is a Massachusetts-based branch leader, and we're going to be picking both Leanna's and Naveen's brains today, which I'm excited about ways to harness the power of high interest rates by talking about income-producing securities and discussing what role those investments might play, could play potentially in a portfolio. So welcome to both of you, and thank you so much for making the time today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yes, good to be here.
And before we begin, just a reminder, you can submit your questions to both Leanna and Naveen. All you have to do is comment on LinkedIn or YouTube or our website if you're watching us there live, so we can hear what's on your mind and incorporate it into a future show. We really do read all of your comments, so please keep them coming. And with that, today is Tuesday, March 19th. Do you know what that is, guys? You know what that means?
Birds are chirping.
That's right. It is the... What, Naveen?
Yes, that's right. Birds are chirping.
Yep, the flowers are blooming. It's the first official day of spring, so we've made it to spring. And before we get into our topic today, let's just get caught up on where the markets and the economic headlines stand right now as we usher in spring. And Naveen, I mentioned we did get that new inflation report last week. We got actually a couple of inflation gauges, and we did learn that inflation ticked up slightly higher from last month. So first question, what does that all mean for investors?
Yeah, so what I think most of us have been hoping for is a gradual decline in inflation. And what we got last week instead was indication that inflation ticked up ever so slightly versus a month ago. Now, in my opinion, that's nothing to get too alarmed about. And in fact, the day of the report, the market wound up going up as well. So I don't think markets are taking this as a big shock or something to get alarmed about. But this trend, we've been at this level of inflation around a little bit north of 3% on the consumer price index since October of last year. So the question is, are we just kind of hitting this plateau, or will this continue to drift lower? So that's the question that's up there for investors. And this kind of, for now, has been following along with the outlook from Fidelity's asset allocation research team. The folks who do the economic research here, they believed this is what would happen, is inflation would kind of slow and gradual to come down. It may be sticky at some points too. So I'd say a little disappointing, but not entirely unanticipated.
Okay, so what do you think this means for the Fed's plans to cut interest rates, Naveen?
Well, the Fed has been looking to do is watch inflation and see, does it continue to roll lower? And what they're hoping to see is more confirmed signals that inflation is in fact moving in a downward direction before they cut interest rates. So in my view, this latest data probably means that they may delay cutting interest rates. If one were to look at the futures market for what the Fed might do with interest rates in the future this year, most of the investors in that market believe the Fed is likely to make two or three cuts happen by the end of the year, but perhaps not until starting this summer or later in the year. So still some interest rate cuts potentially coming, but maybe not as many as people thought even just a few months ago.
Okay, so a lot up in the air. And again, the Fed is meeting right now, so maybe we might be able to get a little bit of a greater sense on what the Fed might be thinking after their meeting wraps up tomorrow and their minutes are released. But I do want to switch gears right now and talk about income investing. And Naveen, we're excited to have you here today because you are part of an investment team that manages accounts for 3 million families here in the United States. First question for you, just to sort of set the stage here, how does your team approach income investing?
Well, we believe that fixed income investing, there's opportunities there for investors for the most part to help manage risk within a well-diversified portfolio of stocks, bonds, short-term investments, and other areas to invest as well. The reason for that is historically, if you were to look back, it seems like many income-oriented investments, particularly in the bond space, have been less volatile than the stock market historically. So if an investor has a mix of stocks and bonds, in a typical stock market sell-off, their bond portion tends to retain its value pretty well, or value actually increases in many instances. And we believe that can give investors the confidence to not have a strong reaction to a stock market sell-off, because they might look at their account and say, hey, the market's down, my account is not down as much as the market. So that gives them confidence to stick with a plan and stay invested for the long term, which we believe often leads to good outcomes for clients as they move towards their financial goals over time.
Okay. Leanna, hey, thanks for your patience. I'd love to bring you into this conversation too, because I know you talk on Market Sense here a lot about how your team helps with all things financial planning. So I know that income planning, you know, can be a big concern or a big part of your financial planning conversations with your clients, especially clients who are approaching retirement, asking about how they're going to replace their paycheck. Before we dig into more details on some of the specific income producing investments to talk about, we heard from Naveen, and I'd like to hear from you too about how your team approaches the retirement income planning conversation.
Sure. So we're on the planning analysis side of things, and we talk about this with clients all the time. So as you mentioned, retirement income planning, it's one of the top discussions that we have, because every client wants to know how they're going to live off of their savings and investments when they're reaching retirement. And so for many, it's turning the conversation from how do we maximize and grow and save our wealth to now how do we distribute? And that's where some of the income planning conversation comes in. So Fidelity generally suggests that people should plan for their savings and pensions to replace about 45% of their pre-tax, pre-retirement income. So this is a general guide because it really is dependent on what your income need will be in retirement and what your lifestyle desires are. But we help clients understand their cash flow needs, and we do this through an analysis, and we effectively create that income plan to support clients' needs. So one approach that clients find a lot of value in is managing risk and setting up three different buckets in retirement, and even outside of retirement, just how you're planning for your financial wealth. And those three buckets would be having an emergency fund, protection in your plan, and growth. So your emergency fund, it's for an emergency if that were to happen, but also just having liquidity and flexibility of really having being able to support your day-to-day life. So Fidelity recommends having at least 3 to 6 months of your essential expenses in liquidity in the emergency fund. The protection bucket, that's where we talk more about some of that income planning or having some fixed rate or fixed income investments, to Naveen's point. So this is going to be for a portion of your wealth that could be there to generate income or act as a hedge to the market. And that last bucket is the growth piece of a plan. So we always support having a diversified portfolio to help combat things like inflation and grow your wealth. But so it's all pieces of the whole puzzle. And that's really where income producing investments can come in.
Okay. Well, I know that it is important to understand any risks that any kind of income might face. So I was hoping we could right now dig into some of the specific options that investors have at their disposal that they could consider today for generating income. But also, if you could hit on the pros and cons of each, I think that would be really helpful for our viewers and listeners. Could you walk us through that, Leanna?
Yes, happy to. So again, this is probably the protection bucket of your investment. So when you have the goal to generate income or are being a little bit more conservative in nature, here's where these strategies may be attractive. So you have money market funds, bonds, annuities, dividend paying stocks, and real estate investment trusts. So those are called REITs. So let's just start with the first three, because those are potentially going to be the lower risk options on that list. So the first being the money market accounts. So very similar to savings accounts, money market mutual funds are mutual funds that invest in debt securities, but they have short maturities and very minimal credit risk. So because of the duration of money market funds being just so short, so think a maximum of a few months, they're typically going to be less subject to interest rate um, in, interest rate risk. So second strategy we talked about is bonds. So bonds are really a glorified IOU. They're a debt obligation, but you think you purchase a bond and that bondholder then receives a periodic interest payment known as coupons. So the coupon payments, typically they generate twice a year, could be quarterly, could be annually, but they provide regular, predictable income to an investor. So many investors will come in and say, you know, I want to live off interest or live off coupons. You know, I heard my grandparents used to do this growing up. That's where we think of a bond ladder. So a popular strategy investors have, they want to generate income, they may create a bond ladder, and that's assembling a portfolio with different maturities to have that cash flow. The third I want to talk about is income annuities. So we get a lot of questions about annuities because there's many types and they can be complex. So I always say not all annuities are created equal, but the annuities I'm talking about today are income annuities, and that's a written contract typically between you and an insurance company where you're taking a portion of your wealth and you're transferring it to the insurance company in exchange for a guaranteed source of income. And that income is guaranteed for the rest of your life and often the rest of your loved one's lives because you can have a beneficiary on it. So it's a great way to generate income guaranteed, but it's not invested. It's not in the market. And it is irrevocable in the sense of we can't get that money back and then go invest it. So just a transfer to replace that paycheck in retirement, if you will, and get a guaranteed source of income.
Okay. So we just talked about annuities. We talked about money market accounts. We talked about one option that you say varies in risk a little bit, and that's bonds. Can we talk a little bit about the two somewhat higher risk options that you talked about too? That would be REITs and dividend paying stocks. And what should we know about them and what should we consider when it comes to that space? When it comes to REITs and dividend paying stocks?
Sure. So we'll start with the dividend paying stocks. So I think again of kind of the risk level. So dividend paying stocks are stock dividends or payments a company makes from its overall profit. So some stocks are growth stocks where they're reinvesting. Others are dividends paying to the shareholder. So historically, they have been less volatile than many other types of stocks. But it is important to remember that dividends are not guaranteed or insured. So a company may increase its dividend payments, they may cut them, and the stock market may be volatile as well. So that's one of the cons to owning dividend paying stocks. The last strategy listed are REITs or real estate investment trusts. So these are publicly traded on an exchange just like a stock, but allows an investor to essentially be a landlord because the investments underneath that REIT are real estate. So it can be all different forms. So think shopping plazas, data centers, senior housing, cloud storage, but REITs again generate that income to taxable income to shareholders through dividends each year. So of all of these, I talked about many different types. I would just say that they're typically planned for a portion of your wealth. You're not going to put everything that you own in a REIT or in a dividend paying stock. This should all be under the umbrella of what are the goals of my accounts and how do I assign the different strategies and roles and responsibilities for my wealth as part of a diversified strategy.
Part of the total picture, but certainly not the only thing in your portfolio.
Yes.
And I learned from Naveen that REITs can even include cell phone tower space. Naveen, I hadn't considered that one.
That's right.
Pretty fascinating. I'd love to bring you back in, Naveen, actually, because, you know, I know you and your team are constantly weighing the risks and rewards of things, as Leanna's team is as well. What are some of the risks that come into this type of investing strategy, income investing?
Yeah, Leanna touched on some of these already, but I'll go in the same order as her from like maybe least risky and then scale up. So something like money markets, a lot of folks think these don't carry risk because the dollar price is pretty stable. The income return's modest, but it's generally positive as well. But the risk with money market funds is the return may be so low that the investor risks falling behind the pace of inflation. So over the long run, the purchasing power of their savings tends to decrease. So that's the risk of investing perhaps too conservatively, especially when inflation is less certain or showing signs of heating up. Then next up on the ladder, I'd point to bonds, and bonds do provide income. And historically, they have been much less volatile than the stock market. Yet bond prices do move over time in reaction to interest rate movements. And interest rates move based on things like inflation expectations, growth expectations, actions by the Fed. So still some risk and volatility, not as intense as stocks, but something to keep in mind, they may move up and down over the course of several years in value before you get to maturity. And then the last stage, the one Leanna touched on and mentioned, this is closer to stock market risk now. I'll put them together, the REIT space and dividend paying stocks. Both of them tend to have volatility that is less than the stock market over the long run, but it's much closer to the stock market than it is to say a bond or a money market instrument. So expect if you're going to invest in that space to perhaps have that kind of volatility, because historically that has been the case. Now the future might be different, but historically that has been the case. And then the other thing Leanna mentioned is typically the income from those dividend paying stocks tends to be lower than the bonds as well. So there the investor is hoping for a combination of the dividend and some price appreciation to help them achieve their goal over the long run. Those are generally how I think about the risks of those categories. And I'll reinforce what Leanna said. Diversification can go a long way to ensuring the investor is not overly exposed to just one type of risk in their portfolio. So doing this kind of work on your own, I'd recommend a lot of research from the ground up. We have great resources here at Fidelity's website. And of course, this can feel complicated. So feel free to reach out to a financial professional for assistance as well.
All right. Good reminder, Naveen. So, all right. So we've been talking for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks about how the Fed is looking to possibly cut rates later this year. And you said at the top of the show, Naveen, maybe not happening until this summer. We'll see what happens. But when the Fed does start cutting rates, what might that mean for investors who are thinking about developing this kind of a plan?
Well, let me talk to the theory of what might this might look like. So generally speaking, as the Fed cuts interest rates, other interest rates across the market space are typically going to head lower as well. And typically in the bond market, when interest rates fall, prices can rise. So for the investor who feels pretty confident the Fed may cut rates later this year, and again, nothing's guaranteed, right? But if they feel confident that this may happen, then perhaps there's a benefit to moving more into some of these investment areas that are related to income, like bonds, before the Fed actually starts cutting rates. Now, having said all this, I want to add some real-world considerations here. One, the Fed does not control interest rates at every level in the economy. What they do control is a very short-term overnight rate that banks can kind of lend to each other at. And that typically flows into the bond market. But other factors, like I said earlier, growth expectations, inflation expectations, it might mean other interest rates that are further out, 5, 10, 20, 30 years out, they might move in a different and surprising direction. So even if the Fed cuts rates, it doesn't guarantee that every interest rate is going to head lower. So that's something to keep in mind for bond investors. It's one thing to think about the theory of how this all works, but it can get complicated when you start to bring in other considerations, what goes behind interest rates and bond price movements over time.
All right, Naveen. Well, thank you so much for that really comprehensive overlook, and Leanna as well. Okay, so before we go, we talked about how the Fed is meeting right now. I know we're watching that. Talk about that and what else investors should be paying attention to this week.
Yeah, so two quick things. One, the Fed's going to be big tomorrow. The futures market does not expect the Fed to cut rates. I think the inflation reading from last week supports that view as well. The Fed is unlikely to cut rates if inflation remains sticky, in my opinion. And then the second thing to watch over the coming days, we're getting a lot of housing data. So whether it's housing building permits, mortgage applications, or new home sales, all of that can give us a sense as to how the housing market is doing in the U.S. And being such a big part of the economy, it can be a good reflection of economic health for the country as a whole.
Okay. We'll be watching all of that, Naveen, alongside you. Thank you so much. And quick plug, because we have the time today. Next week, we're going to be talking about opportunities when interest rates do start coming down. So please send us your comments or your questions about that topic in the comments section wherever you're watching us today. We would love to incorporate some of your questions into next week's show. And with that, it is time to get out your camera phones because we wanted to put up a QR code on your screen that will take you to a Viewpoints page on income investing where we've got a whole library of articles on this topic. Of course, Viewpoints is where our team of financial writers, in-house writers here at Fidelity, help all of us make sense of investing and finance, personal finance topics. I'll read the URL to you in case you're listening to us and you can't hit that QR code with your camera phone. You can type in fidelity.com/learning-center/trading-investing/investing-4-income. And you can always watch the replay to get that website again. Just a reminder, speaking of the replay, if you did miss some of this discussion, you can watch the replay by going to youtube.com/fidelity, or you can search Market Sense on fidelity.com. You can also search for Market Sense in your Spotify app store or on Apple Podcasts. And if you like this program, hey, we'd love it if you tell a friend about it. Spread the word. It is a free program that we offer, or leave us a comment. We love hearing from you, and we love it when people find us. Finally, for any questions about making a financial plan or staying on track, Fidelity can help. So reach out anytime. And on behalf of Naveen Malwal and Leanna Deviney, I'm Heather Hedges. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. And remember, we are on Tuesdays at 2 Eastern.
Fidelity does not provide legal or tax advice. The information herein is general and educational in nature and should not be considered legal or tax advice. Tax laws and regulations are complex and subject to change, which can materially impact investment results. Fidelity cannot guarantee the information herein is accurate, complete, or timely. Fidelity makes no warranty with regard to such information or results obtained by its use and disclaims any liability arising out of your use of or any tax position taken in reliance on such information. Consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific situation. Information presented herein is for discussion and illustrative purposes only and is not a recommendation or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Views expressed are as of the date indicated based on the information available at that time and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of the Fidelity speaker and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC. To the extent any investment information in this material is deemed to be a recommendation, it is not meant to be impartial investment advice or advice in a fiduciary capacity and is not intended to be used as a primary basis for you or your client's investment decisions. Fidelity and its representatives may have a conflict of interest in the products or services mentioned in this material because they have a financial interest in them and receive compensation directly or indirectly in connection with the management, distribution, or servicing of these products or services, including Fidelity funds, certain third-party funds and products, and certain investment services. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
You could lose money by investing in a money market fund. An investment in a money market fund is not insured or guaranteed by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation or any other government agency. Before investing, always read a money market fund's prospectus for policies specific to that fund. A bond ladder, depending on the types and amounts of securities within it, may not ensure adequate diversification of your investment portfolio. While diversification does not ensure a profit or guarantee against loss, a lack of diversification may result in heightened volatility of your portfolio value. You must perform your own evaluation as to whether a bond ladder and the securities held within it are consistent with your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial circumstances. To learn more about diversification and its effects on your portfolio, contact a representative. Annuity guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Deferred income annuity contracts are irrevocable, have no cash surrender value, and no withdrawals are permitted prior to the income start date. A common stock REIT is a security that sells like a stock on the major exchanges and invests in real estate directly, either through properties or mortgages. A REIT is required to invest at least 75% of total assets in real estate and to distribute 90% of its taxable income to investors. Stock markets are volatile and can fluctuate significantly in response to company, industry, political, regulatory, market, or economic developments. Investing in stocks involves risks, including the loss of principal. Illiquidity is an inherent risk associated with investing in real estate or in REITs. There is no guarantee that the issuer of a REIT will maintain the secondary market for its shares, and redemptions may be at a price that is more or less than the original price paid. Changes in real estate values or economic downturns can have a significant negative effect on issuers in the real estate industry. Fixed annuities available at Fidelity are issued by third-party insurance companies, which are not affiliated with any Fidelity Investments company. These products are distributed by Fidelity Insurance Agency, Inc., and for certain products, by Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC, www.sipc.org. A contract's financial guarantees are solely the responsibility of and are subject to the claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Diversification and or asset allocation do not ensure profit or protect against loss. Stock markets are volatile and can fluctuate significantly in response to company, industry, political, regulatory, market, or economic developments. Investing in stocks involves risks, including loss of principal. Foreign markets can be more volatile than U.S. markets due to the increased risks of adverse issuer, political, market, or economic developments, all of which are magnified in emerging markets. These risks are particularly significant for investments that focus on a single country or region. Fixed income investments entail interest rate risk. As interest rates rise, bond prices usually fall. The risk of issuer or counterparty default, issuer credit risk, and inflation risk. Foreign securities are subject to interest rate, currency exchange rate, economic and political risks, all of which are magnified in emerging markets. It is not possible to invest directly in an index. Fidelity Wealth Services provides non-discretionary financial planning and discretionary investment management through one or more portfolio advisory services accounts for a fee. Advisory services offered by Fidelity Personal and Workplace Advisors LLC, FPWA, a registered investment advisor. Discretionary portfolio management services provided by Strategic Advisors LLC, Strategic Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Brokerage services provided by Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, FSB, and custodial and related services provided by National Financial Services LLC, NFS, each a member NYSE and SIPC. FPWA, FBS, and NFS are Fidelity Investments companies. This information is intended to be educational and is not tailored to the investment needs of any specific investor. Personal and workplace investment products are provided by Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917.